Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Kevin Moss, and today is one of the happiest days of your life. You're surrounded by your family and your friends, people who love you and trust you just because you're you. You've been loyal and loving to your family and friends, and your schoolwork has made everyone proud. So while today is a special day, just remember that as long as you keep going the way you're going, every day can be special.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I get excited because I know we're going to have a great German chocolate cake.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, German chocolate cake. My wife's working. I don't think we got cake. There's no plan. I went to Dash's earlier and had to get a few things and paused in the ice cream aisle and thought, like, should I buy myself an ice cream cake? And I just thought that was too depressing.
A Carville ice cream cake? Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't get your own cake.
No, right, and it's not like you know, her schedule's her schedule. Like, I'm not whining that nobody got me a cake. But, like, I did have the thought, hey, I really like ice cream cake, and it's my birthday, so maybe I should. And I just was like, no, I can't bring myself to do that. I just don't feel right about it. So I'm gonna live without no ice cream cake, no German chocolate cake, no cake at all. I don't know. It's conceivable my wife will show up here at whatever time she gets done with work with a cake, but I kind of doubt it.
You are now the same age as you are now the same age as Kevin Moss, though, so you have that going for you.
What?
Yeah, you're the same age as Kevin Moss. I just looked him up a second ago.
He's 55.
He's 55. Why is that? Is that I'm not a baseball guy, and I don't remember Kevin.
No,
Moss playing,
I never knew. I never realized that we were the same age.
But, so every time you have a birthday, you are turning the same age as Kevin Moss.
Yeah, right. Well, that's nice to know, because we've been connected forever via that.
Yes.
That great birthday greeting that is only played for the most special of occasions.
Birthdays.
Not everybody's birthday gets the Kevin Moss.
You know, no, guys, right.
It's up to you, really. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I didn't play it for myself, for instance. Can't do that. Same way buy your own cake. You can't play your own Kevin Moss open.
Right. Right. And I am not, by the way. I mean, you turned 25 a few weeks ago.
Yes. Yep.
Right. I put all kinds of heat on you to take a run at birthday week, which is something that I used to do when I was that age. Yeah, no. No, I mean, just no. There's no.
Why not?
No, I mean, today, I don't even have a cake today. I'm not set up for birthday week. I've got no momentum.
That's right. It needs to start with the birthday, and it needs to be like a home run, basically.
Yeah, get rolling, right. Yeah. If this were a regular summer and, like, lots of people who want to go enjoy Canada, I were in Canada, I'd have a real run at birthday week, because I'm off after tomorrow through till, like, I think I come back on the 12th or 13th of July. And, I mean, that has the potential to be some birthday week, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
But otherwise, I don't know. Not sure. Anyway, glad to have you folks along with us. It's Sneaky Joe in the Duntire Studios. I mean, kind of. He's annexed the Duntire Studios. And I'm in my my North Buffalo broadcast studio. I wonder what people think this looks like. The setup is hilarious. I mean, it's so portable, you know? Like, I really – I'd like to take it out. I considered, like, tomorrow is supposed to be nice. I think the weather's been incredible. I'm might be assuming it's supposed to be nice just because it's been gorgeous for, like, I don't even know, like 10 days in a row or something. It just feels like it's been great out. But, like, could I conceivably get in the boat and go out and, like, still get a cell signal and, like, have this thing work from the boat? I'm not going to try that. I think it's a little risky because it doesn't work.
But if you could pull it off, though, like, that is got to be the setup, I feel like, every day.
Yeah.
I would want to do it every day if you're able to pull that off. I think it will certainly be challenging. I think there's a possibility, though. Maybe when Mike's here would be a better idea to try this as the producer
right.
of this show.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, not that you couldn't, get through the shift yourself if
sure.
it came to that, but it feels like there's a little more of a safety net if Mike is in studio and I'm trolling around in a boat in Lake Erie trying to get a signal and make the show work from there. But anyway, hey, I started to say we're glad you're all with us here. Happy Canada Day to our friends north of the border. We appreciate your support as always. And sorry we can't all of us who like to come and join you for Canada Day celebrations, you know, we're missing you over there. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Those are your phone numbers. I am the Bulldog, as you've heard. Joe is there. Mike is on vacation. We spent some time in the last hour or so here just kicking around the Sabres and the eighth overall draft pick and the idea of trying to trade that. We talked a little bit about Rick Dudley as an idea. It was a really nice in-depth piece on him in the Buffalo News by Lance Lesowski earlier. I think maybe it was the 25th of June, I think, is the day he posted that. But I revisited it yesterday. And Dudley, if you're thinking about hockey at all, you might not be because, you know, it's July 1st and there's no free agency and no draft yet and all that stuff. So you might be sort of dormant, and I understand that. But we've been talking about that of late here and the merits of doing that. On a scale right now, Joe, of 1 to 10, how worried about Jack Eichel and his state of mind would you say you are?
Probably about a 3. A 3. It's registering for me. It's not quite at panic mode. And maybe next year I'm at a 7. I don't really know what my feeling will be like a year from now if they have another season. Because last year I probably would have told you I was at a 0. And now I'm probably sitting at a 3. I'm thinking about it. Like, I'm reading these trade pieces, good and bad, that people are putting out there.
Oh, my God.
Some of them are awful.
Please. Right. The one that made the rounds that Howard retweeted the other morning was worse than that Felger and Maz clip you played like last segment.
It was so bad. It was awful. It's memeable with some of the ones that are in there. Like, they will be memes on Sabres Twitter, I think, going forward.
Right.
So, like, I read a lot of those, and, like, when they're putting them out there, I'm like, nah, like, these are terrible, like, most of them. Like, I'm not trading Jack Eichel. He's not getting traded. At this point, it's not even on my radar. But at the same time, with his situation and his career, and now that he's taken that next step towards, like, we were wondering about that. Like, is he going to go from, like, a really good player, like an all-star level player, to I was always labeling it as like that Nathan MacKinnon jump. Is he going to become one of the elite players of the league, one of the elite young centers of the league? And I think last year he did that. So with that added into the fact that the team also had basically the same result, I think now I read things like that and I see them being put out. I'm like, okay, I understand that. I understand why that's being put out, because if I was sitting here in Buffalo and a star player on another team, if Nathan MacKinnon, for instance, had the same team success that Jack Eichel has had for the beginning parts of his career, 5-6 years, then I think I would be wanting to think about that as an idea also, like, maybe not to be too realistic, but like, what would it take? What would it take to pry this guy away? So it's enough of a thing where I understand why other people are putting it out there, but there's a chance that maybe he's a guy where he would never ask for a trade or never want a trade like that. And I think if he does at some point, that we're probably still a little ways away from that, entering apocalyptic territory with him.
Yeah, I like how you're thinking there. I might, only because, like you said it there in the midst of that, you want to say you're a 3 now, but you could be a 7 by next year. Like for me, I agree. Like I feel like this year whatever form it takes. I mean, if it doesn't start until January, then it doesn't start until January, right? But whenever they start playing, if it starts going badly, I don't know that I won't be at a 7 or an 8 or a 10. Just worrying. I just feel like once, and I know it's right now, we don't know what sort of noise is happening inside, right? You know, we know what Jack said publicly about his frustration, and we can all feel that. I mean, and there's no, I want to get out of here. Like, I'm still willing to believe that he feels a responsibility to get this right here, and that he wouldn't want to be viewed as bailing out, like ejecting on the idea yet. Like that, I choose to think that, you know, I don't know any different, but knowing how he has talked in the past, I would expect that publicly and privately to be at least a part of what he's thinking about right now. But holy, if they get into another year and this conversation is, it's like it's out there now. Like I feel like a part of the reason to not talk about it is because you don't want to legitimize it. You don't want it to become a thing. But I think that's unavoidable now. It feels like it's a thing now, right? Like writers at NHL.com are writing, like, you know, it's albeit answering a mailbag question, but there was, well, what would it take? Oh, here, I'll give you this, 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 and this, and this. Like, okay, wow, that just happened. And I think that leaves me, I can't say I'm only at a 3. I feel like I'm more like at a 5. Like, I'm worried about it. Like, I don't know that anything has happened that should have me at a 5 other than the Sabres keep losing, and this conversation is only gaining steam. And I think if we get into halfway through next season, whenever the hell that is, that might be halfway through next season, it might not be till March, but we get there and it's the normal, you know, it's the normal year. The Sabres are on a 75-point pace or some garbage like that. I feel like every loss is inching me closer to him walking in someday and going, you got to get me out of here.
Yeah.
And so if that's how I'm feeling now, like, I don't know, that what I just described is not a 3, right? Like, it's more like a 5, I think. And worrying about it as soon as, you know, halfway through next season, I think they got to get right here. And that is really trading the 8th pick to me, is all about that. I mean, I just cannot preach to Jack Eichel anymore, draft and develop. I need to get a bona fide player that helps him do this thing so that I don't put myself in a position where he's going to walk in someday and go, I got to get out of here. You guys are killing me.
It's almost, you're uncomfortable being in this spot, but the way it's gone, like, you've kind of dug your own hole on this, and that the Sabres are almost, it feels like they're in an audition to keep their franchise player, that they need to prove to him that they're not just going to be sitting at the bottom of the league for his entire contract, and he's not wasting half of his career and many of the best years of his career not being on anybody's radar, not playing in playoff games, not even playing in games down the stretch of the regular season that are impactful. And there is the trade the 8th overall pick part of this, and then it's, all right, like, don't just tell me that we're waiting for Mittelstadt and Cousins to get here. Don't just tell me that we're waiting for Dahlin to become a Norris Trophy level defenseman. Like, let's go. Like, let's get this going already. And if I'm Eichel, I think, and maybe this has happened behind closed doors, there's no way of knowing, but the logical step would be that there's pressure put on the organization and that, hey, like, come on, let's go, like, let's do some win now type of stuff instead of just waiting around. And I feel like they haven't really done that. Like, they at least haven't done it since Tim Murray was the GM and he was throwing picks and prospects around for O'Reilly and Evander Kane and Robin Leonard. Like, since then, there hasn't been a lot of, hey, let's go put this major asset into something that's going to help us win right now. And if I'm Eichel, I think I want to sign before I'm going hitting the nuclear button and just saying, all right, get me out of here. Maybe you take action in that, like, let's see a move like that first.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's, I mean, it's, you got to do whatever you can do at this point, I think, to, I mean, it sounds maybe a little ridiculous to say, like, how the amount of time and energy you got to put into managing Jack's mindset. And look, I'll say it again. Like, maybe there's nothing to manage. Maybe he's just, I'm going to keep trying to be a 100-point player. And, you know, you guys are paying me. And, like, I'll do my job and keep my head down. And hopefully we get this right. Right. He very well could be that way. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, let's hope. Right. But I just, you've got, you know, you guys on conference calls asking former college teammates about them. It's a thing now, you know. I think, like, his friends in the league are going to be in his ear about it, and I think that's just really hard to sort of get past, you know. I would think it would eat at you, and as much as you might not want to be the guy that does that, you would certainly hear from other guys who, like, you know, their careers have gone however they've gone after they made such a decision and asked, you know, went nuclear, like you say, the nuclear option, and, like, look, it was the best thing I ever did. You know, I got out of a bad situation, and, you know, yeah, those people there, yeah, they hated me. Like, does Hasek regret demanding to be traded? He went and won a Stanley Cup. Like, of course he doesn't. Yeah. And eventually, for him, his legacy here is now secure. Like, it's fine again. And, you know, everyone kind of gets over it. You know, not to say, like, you know, Jack has not really won any hardware here. Dom was a very decorated veteran player by the time that happened. But I think as hard as it would be for a guy to get there and ultimately do it, I would think there'd be plenty of people who've been through it that would be able to tell him, like, look, it'll be for the best, you know?
I'm almost happy that, like, this is a hockey conversation and that this isn't, you know, an NBA team, or this isn't maybe even the NFL or baseball to a certain extent too. But I think about this conversation and, like, how it would relate to the NBA, and that is the league where a guy is unhappy and he's not winning, they're trading him, especially when it's in a small market. Hockey players, I think we should be a little optimistic in this whole situation, in that it doesn't seem like a lot of them are geared towards this type of thing, where it's, all right, I'm sitting out. Like, I'm not playing for you anymore. Like, send me to L.A. or New York. And even though it's Buffalo, and even though it's a small market, I think in a way we're all geared to kind of think the worst when we have a star player like this, and that, it could go bad. That it doesn't have to go bad. And there's also the contract. There is the contract that does not expire until 2026. And I want to believe that if a day ever came where there was frustration, that they would just sit him down and say, listen, man, you're under contract till 2026. Like, this is not happening. Because I would want my organization to act that way. And even if he is unhappy, like, the good thing is that you have him under control, under contract, for a long time. So maybe that's why I'm at a 3 and not a 5. If he had come out and signed the contract that Austin Matthews wanted, and maybe even got, I'm trying to think back if he signed that 5-year deal.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, so if he had signed that contract and he had, instead of, 6 years left on his deal, he had 3 or 4, then 3 more so. I would be at a 5 then, but I want to believe that the contract does matter to a certain extent too.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, you can as an organization, obviously, like, respect what he's telling you and try to massage his frustration, and just flat out tell him, like, look, no. We're sorry this isn't working the way you want it to so far. We want it to be different too, but we cannot trade you. You know, the next step then is he goes public with it and stays home. And, you know, that is a doomsday. We're talking nuclear and doomsday.
Yeah.
It's crazily, crazy cryptic conversation. But, you know, that's the next step. And, you know, you get there. The struggle in doing that, Joe, I think, is like if he tells you privately he wants to go, and you just do the best you can, you definitely do better than you do when you have to trade him with a gun to your head.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's just, it's always better to do it ahead of time. And like, I'm not advocating for them to divest themselves of Jack Eichel. I'm just saying the minute he says he wants to go, the meter is running on the return you're going to get. If that's the end game, if you're going to end at, well, I guess we have to trade him, we have no choice because he stayed home now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that's where you end up, you are, man, you're always better off doing it before he goes public and it becomes a whole thing, because you're screwed then. I mean, then you're getting like Danny Heatley to San Jose or whatever. Like, you're just not that Heatley is Jack, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it mitigates the return.
Yeah. It's weird that, like, we had the conversation about Allen earlier and like how the pressure is on. It almost seems like the pressure's on Josh Allen this season to prove to the organization that he is like a pillar of this team going forward. And I almost feel like on the flip side with the hockey team, it's flipped. I feel like the organization is now out to prove to the star player that they're worthy of being a part of his career going forward. And you don't want to ever be in this spot. And that's mm-hmm. why maybe this season, like you said, it is so important in that we just don't ever inch close to all of this that we're talking about.
We'll keep rolling on here. It's time for a break. Sneaky Joe is in our Amherst studios. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is on vacation. You got a thought on the 8th overall pick? And, I mean, we ended up really in a long discussion here about Jack Eichel. And, really, trading the 8th overall pick is an idea that has appealed to me because I want to try to avoid everything Joe and I just talked about regarding Eichel. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Those are the numbers. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope's on vacation. This is WGO.
Well, the first thing I do is sit down with Mr. Eichel and say, look, here's the deal. He's been patient. He's a great player. He's a wonderful young man. And they've got to keep him on board, show him a plan to the playoffs, show him a path for the team to get better. Or at some point, he's going to say, I've had enough of this. It's time. Why don't you guys move me somewhere else? Which he has not done. He's been loyal. But at some point, my priority would be first day on the job is wherever Jack Eichel is, I'm going to sit down with him, which I'm told he did. He talked to him right away.
That is Brian Burke, former longtime NHL executive GM and team president, a number of franchises, Anaheim, Calgary, Toronto, maybe most prominently. He was on with Howard and Jeremy just, I think, early in the week or late last week. Anyway, there he is talking about Eichel, kind of piggybacking on the conversation we've been having here in the last few minutes regarding you know, really the springboard for it was trade the 8th overall pick for something that can help you now. And, like, that's an idea that I think always appeals to a certain kind of fan anytime you bring it up. I think there's just, like, sure, yeah, of course. I'm tired of waiting. You never know with these draft picks. Like, okay. You know, I think recent history would frustrate you even more with the Sabres because of guys who've yet to come through. I mean, we'll see about Dylan Cousins. He's the next man up, last year's top draft pick. But I'm generally more conservative, especially if you're drafting up high like this. Like, okay, let me just hang on to that, and you know, I'm probably going to get something that's going to be really nice for me. Yes, I have to wait for it. I don't think I can afford to wait anymore. So, and Eichel is at the center of that, and that's what we've been talking about here. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Did you see this yesterday from John Worrow of the AP? I know, like, yeah, a lot of guys at the station have had different tangles with uh-huh. John. I've been friends with John a long time. I don't love everything he does in social media and how he handles himself, but I do consider him a friend, you know, despite that. this tweet he had last night, like, I went back today to look to see if it was a joke or, like, was there some further explanation, because the tweet was, he said he understands there's now some unhappiness over all the dead money contracts suddenly on the Sabres books. I can't even say it without laughing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I read that, I just like stared at it, and thought, like, suddenly? First of all, suddenly?
The word like, suddenly is maybe the best part of it to me.
Yeah, right. And by the way, yesterday was the day that Tim Murray came off the books, and I think maybe someone else did too. Ville Leino, maybe?
Ville Leino, like,
yeah. So I'm here. This is probably ridiculous. Okay. But you see that from a reporter that you trust, you know, you can do mm-hmm. what you want with that. I trust John. I see that and I go, is there some percent chance that they didn't know how it works? When you fire someone who's got a guaranteed contract, like a coach or a GM, like for some reason, like, did they learn that they were paying Tim Murray when Tim Murray was done being paid?
I mean, that's
absurd, but you know, if you're like trying to decipher how suddenly they could be upset about all the dead money contracts on their books.
Yeah,
it's a question that I want to ask. I do think it's absurd, but 5%, 2%, is there some percent chance that they didn't realize that when they were firing Rex Ryan, that they were paying him for 3 more years?
Business stuff, though, so I'd have to, I want to believe, I guess, but also I feel like I have to believe that they would know that. If you fire a guy, like, there's some percentage of the financial commitment that you still have to honor. And
right.
Then not meaning, you know, oh, we're still paying Erhoff until 2028? Like, what? Right. Did we just find that out? Like, that's the kind of stuff that you just, you gotta hope and pray that is not the case. Only speculating, but, I mean, it's weird. It would be coincidental to me that comes out a week after they basically fired most of the hockey department, that it would probably mean that, but again,
right.
it's kind of just left there and that's it. So there's no way of knowing what he means.
I know. I could look, I forget about Erhoff, you know, like that's so long ago already. Like, I could understand that. The other guys, I don't know. Like, I guess to not know it would mean that at some point when you're thinking of it and discussing it internally, that someone, you know, I don't know, the vice president of finance, mm-hmm. who also just got fired this week, right? That's who Chuck LaMontina was.
Yep.
Did he get fired because he didn't tell them, hey, you know, when you fire that guy, you're going to have to pay him for 3 more years. Is that why he just got fired? Like, I don't know. But it seems like the kind of thing that would come up when you're discussing, you know, you're thinking about adding a vehicle to your family. Like, we're in the process of doing this in my house, right? My son, mm-hmm. Owen, is going to I mean, I don't know, knock on something, would eventually go away to play junior hockey somewhere if junior hockey exists in 2020. And so we got to get him a vehicle. So you think about adding a vehicle in. Well, okay, well, what do we owe on the other vehicles? Like, where are we at on the timeline on all this stuff? Like, what makes sense? What should we move around? Should we pay that one off? Should we trade that in? Like, you try to get that lined up, right? Well, these guys, these managers, these coaches, these people they fire, that's the same kind of thing. I think organizationally, if you're buttoned up, you'd be on top of that. So there can't be a surprise there. So I don't know what, John. I should have reached out to him to get some clarification, because I just don't get it at all. I mean, it just literally sounds like they have no idea what they're doing. And I don't think that. I mean, I don't think they're good at what they're doing, but I think they would have a handle on that. I don't know. I hope, I guess.
Especially when you're in the business end of things, when you're in the financial end of things. That's where you would think things would be nailed down. Yeah. But maybe not. I don't know. Cody Hodson, by the way, and Ehrhoff. I was just looking at the player buyouts. They're the only two left now that they're still paying. Ehrhoff until 2028, Hodson until 2023. Bobby Bonilla Day.
Bobby Bonilla Day. He's going to be 74 years old when he gets the last payment.
I think so. Today. Yeah, 2035 is the last year he gets a check. It's amazing.
That is, and that, I mean, the longevity of that being hilarious is amazing. I mean, it's 2035. I'm sorry, doesn't sound that far off anymore. But when this story started, like, how long has Bobby Bonilla been gone from playing for the Mets? Like, when did it first start getting reported? You know, they're paying him $1 million a year for the next 35 years or whatever the hell it was. Yep. Like, whenever it was, we were like, 2035? I'm going to have a spacesuit by then. Like, 2035? What is that? And now it's 15 years. I think, I don't know. Like, that's not that far off anymore.
He was released in before the 2000 season. So, in 2000, what were you thinking of 2035? I can't remember because I was five. So,
right. Well, yeah, I was. I was 45, and I might have been thinking I'll be dead by then.
By 2035?
Yeah.
Nah.
I might have.
Technology increases.
I know, but still, you know, like that. That's a pretty good run.
What? Yeah, that's a good. Would you have said then you would have signed up for that?
I think so, but not now. Because another 15 years have gone by. And I'm like, no,
definitely. No,
80's not good enough. I need better than that. I got to do better than that. Right. Oh, Lord. All right, let's take a timeout. Happy Canada Day. What an uplifting segment. We'll take a timeout. I have a question about the 4th of July. I mean, it could wait till tomorrow. I don't know, whatever. We'll take a timeout, and I might have a question about the holiday. And we'll keep going. We got a lot of football and some hockey coming up in the 6 o'clock hour as well here. I'm the Bulldog. Mike Schopes on vacation. This is WGR.
The border's an issue. A college campus's opening is an issue. There are a lot of different things. And certainly you're dealing with, if you're the CHL, you're dealing with teams on both sides of the border. You're dealing with potentially different rules from different municipalities on gatherings. And, you know, if you're a junior hockey club, you cannot make money without a gate. You cannot make money without fans. And you cannot really operate without fans.
That is Chris Peters. He was a guest with us yesterday on this show, ESPN hockey writer and NHL draft analyst. I don't know. Today, I haven't looked. I've been, you know, busy doing this, so I haven't kept up. But early in the day, it sounded like a good day as far as the NHL goes. We'll see where things take us here over the holiday weekend with regard to that. Speaking of the holiday weekend, Joe, you're in Kenmore now, right?
Yes. Just outside the Kenmore Village, yep.
Okay. Has there been fireworks?
Yes.
Pretty much, like, since the protests started, like, nonstop?
Almost every day, yeah. And it seems to be, for me, like, a little bit in the distance, but close enough where, like, you hear them. Like, even if you got the TV on or right. if you got the hose on, like, whatever you're doing, like, you are hearing them in the background.
Right. Like, the first few nights that was happening, remember, it was right around the time that everything had just happened.
Yep.
With all the protesting, you know, around the country and certainly here, and we had what happened on Bailey Avenue with the police being run over, and then Martin Gugino a couple days later. I feel like right around that time, sitting on my porch, like hearing fireworks, thinking like, are those gunshots? Like, I'm yep. worried, kind of very, very on edge, right? And it turns out it was fireworks, and it's been fireworks nonstop. And like, what is happening? what did I miss?
Is somebody get their hands on all the fireworks from the places that were canceled or the things that were canceled? Like, that's what it seems to like possibly be the case, because it's like an endless supply that every night I feel like I'm hearing these things.
I went for a long bike ride around the city Sunday morning. Yeah, Sunday morning. I don't remember where I saw this, but at some point I passed like a tent sale on a street corner.
Mm-hmm.
Fireworks.
That's illegal.
When did
isn't
that
it?
Start happening?
Yeah,
I missed a change, I think, because people used to go to Pennsylvania to get fireworks.
Still had to go to Pennsylvania to get fireworks.
I don't know. Maybe I did not stop and look. I had the stupid bike shoes and bike shorts on, and I mean, I just can't even begin to try to walk around anyway. But I was riding by, and again, I don't remember. I went through a lot of neighborhoods on Sunday, so I didn't. But I know I just thought, seriously, with the fireworks? Like, what? Okay.
Wouldn't you get sick of them after every day anyway? Like, you know, after one time.
Yes.
After one time, I'm like, all right, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to go all weekend. Just 4th of July, and I'm set.
Yeah. Yesterday, we got done with the show. I walked downstairs and sat down on my porch like I've been doing for months on end now. And I'm not even kidding you. You know, remember when you were a kid, you had like the little firecrackers and you'd light a whole string of them?
Yep.
Right? And they just, like, somewhere like within a block of me, somebody did that at 6 o'clock last night. I'm like, what the hell is that?
People are bored. Man. People are bored, yeah. I think. It's gotta
be. Maybe nobody will have any left over for Saturday.
Possibly, yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe that'll be our.
My drive home a lot of times on 4th of July or from anywhere is you're driving down the thruway wherever you are and you're seeing fireworks on either side of you like the whole way. Like that I feel like is going to be not a thing this year. Maybe because like we're talking about people are using them all up, but.
Right, no, but I don't think big shows, like I don't think lots of communities are telling people to come out with their lawn chairs.
Right.
I mean, I think that's probably not happening, so. All right. Well, I just wanted to know. I knew it wasn't just me. I mean, I've been hearing about it a lot. So, all right, good. Maybe, I don't know, some explanation. I don't know. This roadside thing was odd to me, but I might be just behind the times. Let's take a time out. We'll get you some more football coming up next. Our buddy Nate Geary talking about Cam Newton on the Patriots and Josh Allen and the whole AFC East. We'll have that for you coming up. Right after this, I'm the Bulldog. My show's on vacation. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.